south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. All right, today we're going to talk about something a lot of people have been waiting for. I've been getting emails about this particular subject for a long time now, and I'm finally putting it together. We're going to talk about buying, building, and assembling container homes here in Latin America. Because, you know, there's really no better place on the planet to do a container home or building than here in Latin America for a lot of reasons, and we'll get into most of them. First of all, since Latin America is the third world and there's not a lot of heavy manufacturing, thousands upon thousands of containers are coming into Latin ports every day. In fact, if you were to visit one of the big Latin ports, you'd see huge parking lots just chock full of empty containers. As if you didn't know, everything's made in China these days, and everything comes by container. And, for the moment, there's been a big slowdown in worldwide shipping, meaning there's a greater supply of containers than demand. Plus, there's the fact that a big percentage of worldwide shipping goes through the Panama Canal, so Panama's a place that's just teeming with excess containers. Another thing people don't realize is that there are tens of thousands of containers that are well over 10 years old. There's a limit on their useful life, you know. You see, a container that's 10, 20, even 30 years old is just fine for a container home, but not necessarily seaworthy anymore. Then there's the fact if you're going to build a container home up in the first world, you have to deal with the stifling bureaucracy. Unless your site is way out in the boonies, you'll have to get a dozen or so permits, hire an architect, even a structural engineer. So there will be the approvals to get and all the inspections. And if you're the first container building a local inspection department has ever come across, they'll either help you through it because it's a cute novelty that breaks up their generally boring inspections, or stick it to you because you're the square peg in the round hole. In fact, one Canadian expat told me he researched the whole thing up there in Montreal, and it was such a headache going through all the government approvals that he just gave up on it. However, down here in Latin America, just as with almost every building project, you get the plans drawn up by a local Latin architect. In most cases, that won't set you back more than $250. He submits the plans to the local municipality, you pay the registration fee, and that's it. Now, of course, most people have heard of container homes, but they've probably never seen one, except maybe on TV or in a magazine. There are even a lot of do-it-yourself books out there and tons of YouTubes on how to do it, too. However, in most cases, they'll be talking about doing it up in the States or Canada or Europe. A totally different and much more expensive proposition than doing the same thing here in Latin America. We'll get to that and the reasons why in a moment. Oh, and by the way, when you come down to my January 2018 Expat Insiders Seminar, you are coming, right? Well, you're in for a surprise. Actually, there'll be a lot of surprises. I'll be taking you to see a fully finished, very nice, but basic and no frills, container home. You'll get to walk in it, touch it, take pictures, and probably for some of you, the first time you've ever got up front, close, and personal with one of these things. So then you might ask, how prevalent are container homes here in Latin America? Well, they're not prevalent up in the States, nor are they prevalent down here. Though I know a few people who've built them, and I even know of an expat gringo who bought some very cheap land on Lake Atitlan, the most beautiful lake in the world. I know, that's what they all say, right? But don't take my word for it. Look it up or come on down and see for yourself. That's one of the places you'll be visiting if you come down to the seminar and elect to take one of the pre or post John Galt trips. Anyway, an enterprising expat gringo bought some land on that lake. Oddly enough, many parcels of land on the most beautiful lake in the world are extremely cheap. How could that be? Well, you know, Lake Atitlan is 5,000 or 6,000 feet above sea level, which in itself is very strange. How could a lake like that be so high up? Well, one of the reasons for that, and the reason why it's such a very deep lake, it's sitting in the basin of three inactive volcanoes. And you know, volcanoes are quite pointed and have very steep sides. At least the ones that formed recently and haven't had much erosion show those traits. That means it's a lot of hassle to build a house or any kind of building on a steep incline like that. So although you might own some of that land and have some of the finest visuals and scenery in the world, Still, it goes quite cheap because most of the land that's on a steep incline is difficult to build on, unless you're doing it with containers. And at least one enterprising gringo has figured that out. He bought some of that cheap land with $1 million or $1 billion view. You have to see to believe it. And you will if you come down to my seminar and take one or both of those famous John Galt trips. Just a little plug there. So anyway, an expat gringo bought some of that very angulated land and used a bunch of strategically placed shipping containers and made himself a very nice hotel. I've not stayed there yet myself, but I certainly mean to. So another expat with a great idea found his niche, but only because he knew about container projects. Because as opposed to building with traditional techniques, cement, rebar, brick and mortar, etc., where you'll have to bring in truckloads of that stuff, and how are you going to do that if you're on an angulated side of a volcano? Remember, we're talking about dormant volcanoes here. They have never blown off in human memory, so for all intents and purposes, they're considered extinct or dead. Nope, no worries that you'll wake up one morning to a rain of cinders or lava flowing past your picture window. Though, that would be cool, wouldn't it? For maybe a minute. So anyway, an expat bought some of that cheap land, had some ledges cut into it, kind of like a big staircase, brought in some containers, some construction guys, and some gardeners, and man, does he have a nice setup. So then you might think, with the big availability of containers and cheap land in very beautiful locations, people would be doing creative things with containers all over the place. But they're not. Personally, I've only seen two of them actually constructed, though people, gringos I mean, not Latins, talk about them all the time. So then why aren't more people jumping on board? Well, Latinos won't for sure, because it's a completely foreign concept to them. I bet if you were an on-the-street reporter and asked 1,000 Latinos if they knew anything about container homes, they'd all give you the deer-in-the-headlights look. They have no idea what you're talking about. However, if you polled people about container homes in Milwaukee and Cleveland, I'm sure maybe a quarter to a half of the people would say, yeah, cool, good idea. So let's dig into the details. What's it going to take and what are the advantages and disadvantages? Now, again, I'm completely directing this conversation towards doing such a thing here in Latin America. So pay attention, especially if you're the hands-on do-it-yourselfer type. Now, I mentioned if you come down to my next Expat Insider Seminar, which again will be in and around Guatemala, you'll get a chance to touch, feel, and kick the tires of a very nice little container home. Now, that particular house is done with just one 40-foot container, and it's cut open in the front, so there's a nice big porch and outdoor deck sitting area with a canopy. Now, I can see if you had that on a nice scenic piece of land, it would be absolutely perfect for one or two people. And I'd say the cost for that thing, completely finished, plumbed and wired, with a very modern little kitchen with real marble or granite countertops, I'd say $20,000. And a lot less if you're the do-it-yourself type. By the way, visiting that container home is just one of the many boots-on-the-ground adventures we'll have at the upcoming seminar. And how do you sign up? Well, just go to www.thenewexpat.com and click on Johnny's seminar link. That's where you'll find the sign-up details, the itinerary, and the early bird discounts. Yep, they're still in effect. So sign up now if you want to save some money, because on December 1st, the price goes up $500. And for all you past attendees who've been asking about the repeat offender discount, it's still $1,000. So if you come down for a second, third, or even fourth time, some people have, you know, you get $1,000 off the early bird discount price. Can't ask for a better deal than that. And of course, if you can't make it down to the seminar or get boots on the ground yourself, the next best thing to get your plan B underway is to take my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. It's what you might call the definitive step-by-step formula to get your ducks lined up for your plan B. So to get my free video that explains it all, just go to expatplanb.com. Oh, and if you haven't heard me mention this already, if you sign up for my Expat Insider Seminar, you automatically get a 1-hour one-on-one phone or Skype consult with me. So we can discuss not only the seminar, but the John Galt trips, and that'll give us time before the seminar to talk about your own plan B, because everyone is a little different. And with that, you seminar attendees and everyone else who's listening should go to the newexpat.com website and download my phone consultation questionnaire. You know, when I first put that questionnaire together, I realized that everyone who's thinking about a plan B or who's somewhere along the line on their plan B already could benefit a lot by going over the questions and the comments on that form. which is why you can go to the newexpat.com website and download it for free, and I suggest you do that. It doesn't matter if you end up doing a phone or Skype consultation with me or not. Just check it out. You'll see. Besides, how can you go wrong? It's free. All right, first let's talk about some of the benefits of container homes and buildings. Number one, if you're planning on living in the Latin American Altiplano regions, you've heard me talk about those places where it's spring-like weather all year round. There, the average temperature might range in the high 50s at night to maybe 80 during the day. And that means you don't need any heating or air conditioning, so you don't have to insulate your container homes at all. Now, that might not sound like a big deal, but it's a huge thing. Why? Well, because if you're living up in the States or Canada and you're putting together a container home, you'll have to insulate the thing. Up in the first world, it is the construction code, and because it's metal, if you don't have heavy insulation in the summer, it'll overheat, and in the winter, dead cold. So, up north by you, container homes are insulated, and then, of course, there must be interior walls to cover up the insulation. Just like you would do up in the States if you were finishing out your basement for a rec room. All right, consider this. Suppose your home was made out of two 40-foot containers. Probably cost you $5,000 to insulate it and put in interior walls. I know. Some of you are thinking right now, well, if you're going to be in the tropics, even in the Altiplano, that sun is really hot. And that means my container home is just going to bake, like your car does if it's sitting in a parking lot in the noonday sun. Well, that's true enough, but that's why people who build container homes down here, they always make sure they're in the shade. And there are dozens of very inexpensive ways to do that. So it's true, you never want direct sunlight on any metal parts of your container. That is, unless you're going off the grid and doing some kind of solar setup. Then you could just mount solar panels on top of your container and that'll provide the shade and your electrical energy. Again, killing two birds with one stone. By the way, the other day a very nice young lady scolded me for using that phrase, killing two birds with one stone. She said, Johnny, it's not nice, even worse than cruel, to kill or harm a defenseless animal. She's right, you know, and I'll try to watch that. So anyway, you do need constant shade on your containers, and if you put solar panels on top of them, you'll achieve that. That way, you'll be killing two maggotous scumbag politicians with one stone, so to speak. Maggotous, is that a word? Well, in this case, the shoe fits so very well, so we'll use it. By the way, in the very near future, I'm going to be doing a whole show, maybe two, on going solar off the grid here in Latin America. Anyway, you just heard me say that if you have your container home or building in the Altiplano, you don't need any kind of insulation, which is true, provided it's completely shaded at all times. However, as I mentioned in past shows, the Altiplano takes up less than 5% of all Latin America, and most gringos and expats don't even know about it. Hell, I was down here a couple of years before I stumbled onto it. You could say it's one of Mother Nature's best-kept secrets. By the way, you listeners up in the States, are you still allowed to say Mother Nature? Or is it maybe parent or person nature now? Man, I don't know how you guys can stand living up there. But I digress as usual. Since container homes are absolutely indestructible, yep, pretty much indestructible, all right. I mean, look, even a shorty container, a 20-footer, it's built to haul and hold 20,000 pounds of cargo. That's 10 tons, and the unit itself weighs 5,000 pounds, 2.5 tons. And that's the small half a container, the 20-footer. And the standard 40-footer weighs 10,000 pounds and holds 40,000 pounds of cargo, which means they're perfect for earthquake and hurricane zones. In other words, as long as you've got the hatches battened down and you're up high enough above the ground to be out of the flood zone, even if you got nailed by a Category 4 or 5 hurricane, you know, like in Puerto Rico, your container home ain't going nowhere. Which begs the question, then why not a container home beach house? Come to think of it, why not whole subdivisions of container beach houses? Hey, great idea, except at the beaches and other areas of low elevation, most every day, it's extremely hot, even in the shade. So even if your container home is properly shaded, there are going to be those 90-degree days. And if you're like me and most other expat gringos, you will need air conditioning, which will jack up the price and your electric bill accordingly. Now, if it's a very small container house with just one 40-foot container, you'll insulate the whole thing. However, many container homes are 2, 3, or even 4 container units. So to make this project more economically feasible, and that's why you do container houses in the first place, right? Because they're dirt cheap and indestructible. In fact, I've heard quite a few expat gringas, you know, lady expats, say it's a trade-off between cheap and ugly. Well, I wouldn't go that far because I have seen some pretty spiffy-looking container houses. Then again, I've seen some container houses that look kind of like containers. Now, I know everyone wants to have a nice, comfortable place to live. And admittedly, us men have much lower standards on that count than women. And though I know a lot of men who would be content to live in a dingy basement if the rent was free, let me put it this way. I remember one expat gringa saying, as she inspected that container house at the last seminar, she said, "It has its merits all right, but it's not my style of living." She said, "Johnny, you play with Legos, you don't live in them. Besides," she said, "how are you supposed to hang a picture on those metal walls? With a sledgehammer?" All right then, so let's get back to our container beach house example. How are we going to air condition that thing without breaking the bank? Well, suppose your house consisted of three 40-foot container units. That'd be about 900 square feet. So you've got three individual container units joined by short hallways and doors. The trick is to just insulate one of those containers. That would be the one that has the master bedroom and possibly a sitting area or office. That way you can escape into the coolness at any time and not live your life as most locals do, with a constant layer of sweat and, as expat Eddie would say, chronic ring around the armpits and permanently damp underwear. Oh sure, we can tolerate it, in fact we even like it for a short vacation, but man, imagine living like that day in and day out. So, you should have that insulated, cool space in your container home. In fact, way back when, I had a beach house in Manuel Antonio in Costa Rica. Small place, you know, just a little cabana getaway, maybe 1,200 square feet. And man, there were times it was so hot, you just didn't want to get out of your chair. Sure, there was a pool, and it was great. But sometimes I remember I'd take three showers a day and change clothes just as often. Which is why I had the master bedroom, there were two bedrooms in the unit, insulated and outfitted with a window air conditioner. That was my cool space. And you know, if I hadn't built it that way, I'm sure I would have found less and less reason to visit the place on the weekends. Because during the week I was living in Alajuela, a suburb of San Jose, which was at the lower end of the Altiplano, around 3,500 feet above sea level. And by the way, San Jose, Costa Rica, and the surrounding burbs are really the only semblance of Altiplano in all of Costa Rica. So, as far as Costa Rica, it's San Jose that has the nicest weather all year round. Not exactly eternal spring, but not exactly eternal heat and humidity either. Not like the coast. By the way, there are two ways to insulate a container home. One is traditional fiberglass bat insulation. You know, the terribly itchy stuff that comes in rolls. Another is to use spray insulation. That's the better way. Since when that stuff is sprayed on, it hits every little nook and cranny. And of course, containers are corrugated. That's what gives them their strength. So they've got all kinds of nooks and crannies. And the spray-on stuff sticks and bonds itself to the metal like glue, which makes it a lot more messy than using insulation bats and more difficult for the do-it-yourselfer. But you can rent machines to do that. I wouldn't suggest it myself. I tried it once. Not recommended. Do call in the pros and let them get that sticky junk on their skin and clothes. But still, no matter what insulation method you use, you'll have to put up an interior wall. So let's say you've got an architectural plan for a container house using three 40-foot containers. Note that not all containers are created equal, though all 40-foot containers will have an internal floor area or living space of around 290 square feet. So using three containers, you'll have about 860 square foot of living space. Though it might not sound like much, it's perfectly fine for easy, simple, basic living. Let's face it, we're trying to simplify and scale down. Who needs a 3,000 or 4,000 square foot house? Plus, you know, when you're living down here in the tropics, part of the exterior is your living space too. The sun, fun, flora, and fauna is part of the living experience down here, which is why a lot of people let their homes, container and otherwise, open out into their patio, garden, or backyard. By the way, since a 40-foot container gives you 290 square foot of living space, it's half of that with a 20-footer, so what's the point? Especially when these days there are probably 50 times as many 40-footers out there as 20-footers. So the larger ones, the 40-footers, are much more available and thus cheaper to buy when you consider the square footage. And the only real advantage of having 20-foot containers is that they're much more maneuverable on the site. No problem if you're on relatively flat land, but if you're on a mountainside, out in the boonies, quite a ways from a decent asphalt or concrete road, you'll have to bring in some heavy-duty cranes and stuff. But that's a one-time cost, and everything's cheaper here in Latin America. Down here, a crane or backhoe operator might make $25 or $30 a day, whereas up in the States, that's what they get an hour. By the way, people are always wondering about the rainy season. It rains like hell here, so aren't those containers going to rust and rot away? Well, they won't because they're made out of a special kind of steel called Corten steel. That's C-O-R-T-E-N. So what's special about it? Well, if it gets scratched or dented, it will get a little rust coating on it, but it won't penetrate into the unit. Any rust you see is a kind of surface rust that actually protects the steel below it. So a shipping container used for a home could last 50 to 100 years. In fact, most containers that you buy for a project are well over 10 years old. However, a container should never be placed in direct contact with soil or exposed to continuous 100% humidity or placed against anything that's constantly moist, which is why they're placed on cement footings or slabs. And if they're built into the side of a hill or mountain, there's a retaining wall built first, usually concrete. Again, you don't want them touching earth directly. So then what does a 40-foot container cost? Well, there are different kinds of containers. They've got standard 20 and 40 footers. Then they've got what they call the high cube models, which are a bit higher, therefore more headroom. And now in the US and Canada, there are 45-foot containers too. And the cost, well, depending on the time of year and where you are, close to a port or not, or for example, a distressed city like a Detroit or the Panama Canal where they're just stacked up everywhere, I'd say you could get a 40-foot container for anywhere from $800 to $2,000. Oh, and it's interesting to note that there are way too many of them these days, so they're getting cheaper. Now get this, they've even got shipping container auction sites where you could buy used containers right online. Yep, and they even have scratch and dent sales, but who cares, right? Most people have them bondoed, sanded, primed, and painted. So when they move in, it looks new. By the way, talking about burying a container into the side of a hill or mountain, well, up in Canada, you know, burying shipping containers has been kind of a fad amongst pot growers for a long, long time. People in the know have been saying that Canada has some of the best weed. Now, how could that be when the vast majority of drug trafficking is coming up through Latin America? Well, that's because for years, clandestine pot growers up in Canada have been doing their hydroponic work with grow lights and space heaters out in the boonies, in fact, way out in moose country, in nearly completely buried shipping containers. Of course, nowadays, with many U.S. states and Canada, too, legalizing the stuff, I hope they diversified because there goes that business. But because there was so much of that action, we have some good data on how long shipping containers last when buried. Turns out, in Canadian soil anyway, around 10 years or so. Then the rust becomes pretty dramatic and starts popping through to the inside. So, we can thank those nice, gentle, hydroponic, weed-growing Canadians who did those container life tests for us. Now, of course, it's the thought that you can do container homes and structures very cheaply that makes them so attractive, right? Otherwise, you'd build a conventional home. Well, from what I understand, container homes in the United States have gotten pretty complex and expensive these days because most Americans, anyway, don't want simple. They want to make a statement with their container homes, so they often end up pouring in a lot of extras that weren't in the original plans. But we won't fall into that trap now, will we? Well, that said, the beauty of constructing a container home down here in Latin America is labor costs are so inexpensive. Because, you know, the one guy that's going to be on your job a long, long time is the metal worker. And down here in Latin America, it seems like every little neighborhood has six or seven guys that have a metalworking shop. Why? Because down here there's great demand for metal fences, gates, doors, and metal ornamentation. By the way, metal workers down here are called herreros, or soldadoras. That would be welder or solderer. And so you'll see these little metalworking shops in middle and lower middle class neighborhoods. And I'll tell you, many of these guys are excellent craftsmen. And that, by the way, is how you'll find a guy to come to your job site and do all that metalwork. What do I mean by metalwork? Well, you'll have to cut holes for the windows and then place metal frames or prefab window units where you want them. When you're joining two or more containers, you'll have to cut openings for passageways and doors. And it's not just about cutting holes and openings either. Each of them will have to be trimmed out in a metal frame to have a nice, beautiful finish too. And that's what these little metalworker guys are so good at. By the way, Nearly every home in Latin America has a custom metal door, or two or three. And every Latin home that has a garage has a custom metal garage door, too. Now, when you think about your own garage door up in Boston or Cleveland, they're the folding panel type installed by a garage door company. But installers don't make those doors. They're ordered in prefab sections. Well, the difference is down here in Latin America, garage doors like you have them up in the States are rare. Down here, when you have a house built, the metal fabricator guy, the herrero, will come over and make a door from scratch for you. I'm talking about really big garage doors, too. He'll weld up a nice sturdy frame, even put some nice beautiful metal details in it. He'll cut and fit the rails and the wheels the door rolls on. And he'll even mount your Sears or Doormaster garage door opener, fit it to that door and adjust it so it opens and closes smooth as silk. So these are the very guys you'll be hiring to put together your container home. And yes, down here anyway, he'll be making metal doors for your container home too. And I do suggest metal entrance doors anyway. Inside, you might consider solid wood. They have such nice reinforced hardwood doors here. And you know, down here, when you're building a house, it's always good to skip wooden doors on the outside. Just use metal doors. Yeah, I know, wooden doors, especially reinforced hardwood doors, are beautiful and all that. But remember, you've got that heavy rainy season, and after a while, even the nicest of solid reinforced doors will start cracking and peeling. Though, by all means, do trim out the inside of your home, whether it's traditional or a container home, with reinforced hardwood. I mean, come on, why not, when you can buy it for what you'd pay for clear pine up in the States? Oh, and there's another cool thing about building a container home. Remember I mentioned if you build a traditional house here, on the first day or two, the construction crew will build a little storage bodega where all the tools and cement and stuff will go, and that's where your project's guard or caretaker will live for the duration of the project. However, if you're doing a container home, one of your containers will be designated as the storage bin for all the materials and tools. That'll be your nighttime lockup, and there's nothing more secure than that. And the final big advantage to building a container home is you can put the thing up in a month or two, instead of the usual year it takes to put up a traditional house. And the downsides? Well, talk about paper-thin walls, huh? Meaning it's perfect if you haven't got any neighbors or they're quite a ways from you. But if there's any people or another family or, God forbid, little kids or barking dogs nearby, you're going to wish you had it insulated, not for the air conditioning, but for the soundproofing.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my three videos. See ya. Nos vemos.